Parshas Korach, we read about the Magefa that befell Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar and the successful conclusion of the Magefa after the Tfilos of Moshe and Aaron and the Ketores. Some of the Mepharshim discuss why the double usage. But either way, the Magefa ends. So as we hopefully are holding at... hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel of the Magefa we've been experiencing over the last year plus came to mind that maybe we should consider in previous periods in history situations where there are halakhic accommodations necessitated by an epidemic, a pandemic, a milchama, and in some situations those halakhic accommodations that were not lechachila to begin with ended up sticking even after the fact. As we begin to contemplate what aspects of the last year and the world of halacha may end up sticking beyond their initial need. So two examples readily came to mind, and then I dug around for a third one, and I welcome any other examples for further thought from the audience or the broader listening audience if anyone listens to this subsequently. Number one is a recitation of Kaddish in unison. So it's clear from the Ramah in Yerodei Shinayin Vav, it's clear from the Seder Kedim of Kaddish, the Magen Avraham and other Achronim, and Arachayim Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, that the original authentic Minhag Ashkenaz is that only one person recites Kaddish Yasam or Kaddish Darabanan at a time. As the Chasam Sofer explains in Shuvah, Simen Kuf Nun Tes, Arachayim Simen Kuf Nun Tes, that the way he describes it, we discussed Kaddish in this form in the past, but the way the Chasam Sofer describes it, is that the person reciting Kaddish is the sarsor, he's the medium, the intermediary on behalf of the tzibor, that he's both in the tzibor, just as a shliach tzibor is. And even if multiple people are going to recite Kaddish in unison, but only one of them is really functioning as the sarsor, as the middleman, and everyone else is kind of a misayeya she'ein bo mamish. So even if you have multiple people reciting Kaddish at a time, it doesn't really affect anything to the extent that the person reciting Kaddish is supposed to be doing so as a schus for the nifter. That schus only accrues to one person. And the Chasam Sofer in that context finds difficult to understand the comment of Rabbi Yaakov Enden in the Sidur HaYavetz, in which he speaks glowingly, or at least favorably, about the practice that was more common among Sephardi Jews of reciting Kaddish in unison. But among Ashkenazi Jews in the authentic Minhag Ashkenaz, it seems pretty clear that the authentic Minhag Ashkenaz was to recite Kaddish only one person at a time. And that's why you have the Seder Kedima, who has precedence to recite Kaddish in situations in that whole literature. Tshuvas Binyan Siyan, Yaakov Ellinger, Simon Kuf Kuf Beis suggests, again, he's writing in Germany, where the minhag even later than what we'll discuss was to recite the Kaddish only with one person at a time. So he writes, maybe by Sfardim it made more sense to recite Kaddish in unison because the Sfardim were always more careful about davening word for word, and things wouldn't get disjunctive if multiple people are reciting Kaddish at the same time. But be that as it may, despite the fact that even there is a comment in the Chai Adam, writing later in the 1700s, that it would be acceptable for two people to recite Kaddish together, but the evidence is pretty clear that among Ashkenazi Jewry, that was not the case. So notably, there is a famous takana attributed to Rabbi Kivager that Rabbi Kivager wrote about himself. We'll get to that in a minute, in the context of the cholera epidemic of 1832. Just to know, the Piskei Tshuva in Yerodei Simen Shinayin Vav, Sifkat and Zayin, Shinayin Vav, Sifkat and Zayin, sorry, Sifkat and Vav, goes a Tshuva of the Divrei Igeres. Divrei Igeres was a Rav Mendel Steinhardt, who was a Rav in Westphalia, which is printed in 1812, about 20 years before the cholera epidemic that we'll be talking about. And he notes over there, you have this in the Marmar Kamos I send you, Tshuva Zion, apparently in his Kehila, they had instituted reciting Kaddish in unison, and people were wondering, where did that come from? No one ever did that before. So you're right, even though it's true that there are different practices in Achronim, but the most important thing is, he said there are different details in Achronim about recitation of Kaddish. The most important thing is to avoid machlokas. So the way to avoid machlokas about a seder kedima, people are going to fight two as kedima. Everyone says it together. Says as it is, there isn't really any clear source for all these details of reciting Kaddish in Bavli Yerushalmi. It's based on the Medrash, as we discussed Kaddish in the past. So given that we're talking about something of a less rigorous origin, the better to avoid machlokas rather than have the standard seder kedima. So he. It sounds like this was a limited takan in his small kehila, but not something that was widespread at the time. But I just picked up last week this new collection that someone put out, Bos Sid Bakun, a collection of Maisim and Igros and Ksavim and stories about Rebbe Kivager's reaction to the cholera epidemic in the 1830s. So one of the famous Takanos of Rebbe Kivager, which is printed originally it was printed in some other collection, it's printed in the volume of Psakim the Takanos, Rebbe Kivager. Let's put on the screen. There. So this is kind of reprinted in this new volume that just came out, Bo Tibakun, but it's in Psakim the Tshuvas, Rebbe Kivager. Psakim v'takanos osches. He writes, "V'chodesh av shnas tav kuf tzadi aleph 1831 shechel anegav po v'amnusena rabin v'choli cholera v'hayu harbe aveilim lamiris kaddish." A lot of people passed away. Rachman l'slan. A lot of people needed to recite kaddish. V'takanasi v'tikanti shaveilim yomer biachar kaddish. Kivager writes, he is misaken that even though this is not the minhag Ashkenaz to date, that the aveilim should recite kaddish in unison. The Kohaya Meshach Shana Tmima, that happened that way for the entirety of a year. Ukechlos Hashana, the year was over. Rosh Chodesh Av Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis. So this lasted from Av Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph 1831 to Av Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis 1832. Shesar Racholah Besh Hashem Yisparach, the disease went away. Tikanti Shelo Yomu Yachar Akadeshim Zulas Bechol Yom Pam Achas. The Hainu Tfilas Kadesh Shalach Tfilas Shachris. So he modified it that the regular kaddishes, most of the kaddishes should remain by rotation with the Seder Kedima. One kaddish a day, the kaddish after Shachris in the morning, that everyone would recite together. Avalo Shari Kaddish, now the other kaddishes. Ayi Dezeh, Alkal Panim, Lo Yimsa, Be'ofen, Shiyu, Avel, Nimna, Milomer Kaddish, Pamach, B'chol Yom. That way, someone who's really has the proper Kedima, so he'll have the right to recite at least one kaddish every that way everybody will be able to recite at least one Kaddish a day in unison. But so he went back to the original minhag mostly, but not entirely. Then this Bo Tidbakun, the compiler, Rabbi Shimon Hirschler, so he has some pieces of analysis in the back, he says, well, what exactly was the Cheshvan over here? The Magefa started in Av 1831. So there are a lot of Avelim. So he said, everyone's going to say Kaddish in unison. Then it was over a year later. But it was over a year later, that means people were dying until that point. People were dying until that point. They had kids. They were saying Kaddish for your base Kaddish for another year. So what was the point of changing the Takana only 1 year after the onset of the Magefa? He suggests, maybe Rabbi Kivager thought that the Iker Kaddish is only during Shloshim. So he waited until there was a month where no one passed away. At that point, he went back to most of the original minhag of reciting Kaddish one by one with the Seder Kedima. And at that point, there were people studying the Beis Chodesh, but he was more concerned about everyone having an opportunity to recite Kaddish when they are than when they were in Shloshim. So we don't know if and when Rebbe Kivager went back to even eliminate that single Kaddish that people recited in unison, but it does seem that despite the fact that Kivager did go back to at least most of the original minhag, there are many other places at the time that didn't. And it seems that this was the impetus or impetus for a changing of the minhag of many communities of from reciting Kaddish one at a time to reciting Kaddish in unison. I saw in one of the Sfarim written by Rabbi Binyamin Hamburger, one of the foremost contemporary researchers of Minhag Ashkenaz. So in the volume He has a citation of an previously unpublished letter from Rav Eger's son, Rav Shlomo Eger, in which he writes, Shlomo Eger writes, "Ukvar melchisi mashe chelu beize beis haknesses shakola velim yom yachad kadosh hamizmorim." So I was moch against what was started in some shuls that all the available to say kadosh in unison. "Ubar beinai shemasha hara azad doni avi marizal sheyagidu kulam yachad kadosh tefila." That which my father Rav Eger said that everyone could recite it together. Lo shahayil ritzono kach. He didn't want to do that. El shasamach lahatir iser ksas mishum sarcha hamoni beisa cholera. He relied on it to be matir, what he calls an iser ksas, because of the need. I'm not sure what that reference is of some precedent related to a yartzeit candle that's extinguished. I'm not sure what that reference is. But he says that that's not a justification for the continuation of the practice. And he was mocha against those that continue this practice after the cholera epidemic was over. But either way, it does seem that this new practice was dispassionate far beyond the Posner of Gibbagers Town at the time. To the point, Aruch HaShulchan writes in Arachayim Kuflam Beis Ches, writing more than half a century later, that, or much more, that the minhag is Kaddish is recited in unison, and that became the default minhag. In the last 200 years since Kibbe Eger, there are minhagim l'kan l'kan, but it seems that the vast majority of Ashkenazic Jewry adopted that practice of reciting Kaddish in unison. Chuvas van Hagos or Sternbach, Chelak Aleph, Simon Kuf Kuf. He quotes from the Tzavav of Natali Amsterdam, the Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, one of his former Talmidim, that Yisrael Salanter said that you're not allowed to recite Kaddish two people together, Trei Koli La Mishtama. He quotes that was the position of the Chazon Ish. He writes that if everyone's going to recite it together, then better everyone should do like they do in this shul. Everyone should stand next to each other to the extent possible to make sure that everything is recited mila b'mila together. That's the Badir Shulchan writes. That's Rabbi Karp writes in his Sefer Novelis and others as well. Rabbi Karp writes that he heard from Rabbi Yankel Schiff that by the Brisker Rav, everyone said Kaddish in unison. But aside from those who are steadfast with original Minhag Ashkenaz, most places nowadays recite Kaddish in unison, and that seems to be largely attributable to the Takana of Rabbi Kibbe Eger, which was only a temporary Takana at the time of the cholera epidemic in the 1830s. Number two, another halacha that seemed to have been modified based on a initial Shas HaKlak situation, this is a situation of Milchama, not a situation of Magefa. The Mechaber writes in Hilchos Gittin, Simen Kuf Kuf Dalet Sif Beis, Eben Ezra Kuf Kuf Dalet Sif Beis, Kosvin Ged Al Darvisha Yachol Ezayif. Technically speaking, in general, you have to avoid the possibility of creating a document that could be forged, that could be tampered with. However, when it comes to a get, technically speaking, you're allowed to write a get of material that could be forged, that could be tampered with, as long as Bushi Nanalab Eidim Mesiris, as long as you're delivering the get with Eidim Mesiris. So you have Eidim that could testify to the accuracy of what's being given over. So then we're less concerned about the material that the get is written on. And that's why you can write Al Niyar HaMachlok, you can write on paper that was scratched off, and inferior quality material. That's based on the Gemara. Ulechachila yesh lekosvo al klaf mesukan lesefer Torah tefillin emesusas. The Rama says lechachila you should write a get on klaf that's usable for ksiva sefer Torah. Avalobi in a mubet l'shmo, the klaf doesn't have to be processed l'shmo. Fine. Avol eniga b'davar says nama akiv. Afilu nichtav al niyar shekar in paper. Even if you write it on paper, it's still kosher. So lichachila, use klaf. If you're not able to use klaf, then you can use paper. One of the big biggest misconceptions that people don't know anything about get and have is that you have to write get in a class. There are many people come to Bezin for get, and they express surprise that we're not writing. You write the get in Ksav Ashuris, so they express surprise that you don't write the get on Klaf. Not because they necessarily know the Ramah, but people assume if you're writing the Ksav Ashuris, and it goes together with writing the Klaf. Shuvas Maram Lublin, Simon Kuf Aleph, he writes, Maram Lublin is writing in the late 1500s, early 1600s. Maram Lublin writes, quoted by the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan Zion, Pliya Be'enai, I'll quote to Russo, Shehuga Lisha quote to Russo, Kasav also again, El Niyar. Masha Einogim came in the same. So he writes to the Shoel, I can't believe that you wrote get on paper, meaning we all write get on Klaf, and you wrote on paper that's against the Minuk. Says the Taz, writing less than a century later, Taz, Sif Katan Zayin, Shakar and paper, Lefi Anira, She Yosir Kusher, Lift of a paper, better to write on paper. Shaklaf Shalanu, Efshel Lizayiv Yosir, Ligrimi Manu, that our class is more tamperable. Ki Chazak V'Avu, it's thick. Mashen Kim Iniyar, She Efshel Klau Ligrbo, Velo Yehe Nira Hagir. So our class is thick, and you can more easily erase and write over the erasure as opposed to paper, which is thinner. If you're going to erase on the paper, it's going to break the paper. So it's not misdiafable. The Av Shahaya Minag Barat Sasei Lithova Klaf, even though the Minag in our countries was to write on Klaf, as you saw for the Maran Lublin, Mikal Malkam, Mishasag Zeros, Bimedinos, Valid, Ukraina, Shahutsuku Harvey, Lasse's Get Mitzvah, during the Zeros, meaning Tachvatat, in the Ukraine. When a lot of people needed to give gittin, people were on the run, people were getting killed left and right. People wanted to give gittin to make sure they wouldn't leave their wives at Gunos. The Lohaya Masir Shan Klaf, there wasn't enough klaf to go around. We didn't have cows roaming around to shaft for klaf. Horgulu Lichtov Al Niyar Shel Paper. So because of the Shas of Klaf situation, they didn't have klaf. The Minigoys was to use klaf, didn't have klaf. They started writing on paper. And once that started in Ukraine, in Takvatat, that practice is Sfashet. And the Taz says, essentially, we realize that paper is even better with Lechachila, because paper is less, the Minog was used Klaf. No one would have started up with the Minog if not for the historical reality that they didn't have Klaf because they're on the run in the middle of being attacked. But once they started using paper, they liked it. They realized paper is better. And it was Nisfashet beyond beyond Poland, beyond the Ukraine, to other areas. And that's what the Piskei Tshuva quotes there in Sifkatan Zayin from the Shuvas Yaakov. Zayamim Rabim Nispashet a minute Luchtav on the Yar, Afamachim Shaklaf Matzai. It's already a long time that the minute changed. People wrote on paper. The Ein Sham Tchakrit over. There's no reason to. There's plenty of klaf. But Yabedati Limchas, I wanted to be Mocha. Masasi Latas, Shayosito Luchtav on the Yar, Meal Klaf. They saw the Tassar is better. Even Lechachila, so I stop Imocha. And he quotes the Gemma Kusher. The Gemma Kusher is Moshe Ibn Chaviv, the author of the Kapas Tamar, Mighty Nushalayim, the end of the 1600s, mid to late 1600s. The author writes the meeting now is to write paper. So he's writing Nushalayim a few decades after Tachmatat. But it looks like by that point, even Neri Sisrael started writing on paper. So the Shas of Tach situation of Tach V'Tach created a sea change in the halachic world, which started off as a b'di'eved, but ended up becoming a l'chachila, writing it on paper, which is our practice ad hayom hazeh. The third subtopic I want to discuss in this context was the controversy over smicha in Europe in the 1300s. So for the historical background here, I refer to two articles. One of them is written by Rabbi Mordechai Breuer in Tzion Tavshin Kafkas, 1968. The other one is written by Rabbi Bernard Rosenzweig, who just passed away Erev Pesach this year, in Tradition, 1970. That Rabbi Rosenzweig notes that in the earlier Tkufas HaRishonim among the Bali Tosfos, there is no centralized rabbinate. One of the interesting writings he brings is from he quotes one of them, but there are multiple Maisim Agensas that we know of in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, the recording Rishonim quote, the Ma'aseh Megensa about the missing kolos in the Tashrat, the Ma'aseh Megensa about when to do a bris on Rosh Hashanah. And the way it's presented sounds like everybody in the shul had their own opinion. Where was the Rav? So there was no Rav. There's no centralized rabbinic authority in the earlier period of the Baal Yud Tosfos in the community. What happened was that during the period of the Black Plague in the 1300s, there was a decimation of many Jewish communities, a decimation after the Maram of much rabbinic leadership, and there was a need to compensate for that lack of rabbinic leadership. And some of that led to a more centralized system of having a formal smicha, not the smicha of the real smicha, like the Tzvat smicha controversy in Eretz Yisrael and the time of the Beis Yosef, but hetera, that the people be authorized to paskin shilas and to lead kehilas. So there is a Chuvas HaRivash, and it's that institution. And the question is, what exactly happened before and what happened after? But there was, as a reaction to the reality created by the Black Plague and the pogroms against the Jews in Germany and those areas of Europe during that, in France, as a reaction to the Black Plague, that created certain realities that led to a more structured, a different system of colloquial smicha. I'm not going to quote it, but a few, in the Marma Gomas, I put a few various Jewish in my revile, writing later in the 1400s, that Rabbi Rosenzweig quotes in his article.
Did we lose him?
Okay, sorry. Okay, you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. We lost internet for a minute.
Right, my revile.
I'm sorry?
My revile you're up to.
Oh, you didn't hear about the revash? No. Okay.
I didn't.
Fine. Sorry. So the major source of record is the Chuvas HaRivash Sefer Reish Ayin Aleph. Chuvas HaRivash was addressing this new institution of smicha in the 1300s was instituted by Rav Meir ben Baruch Halevi Mivina, who's known as the Maram Fulda. And the shaila, the way it's presented to the Rivash, was a question of rabbinic overreach. Let's pull it up on the screen. So the way he presents it is Parachiv Hashem Eskvol Pizureya Golab and Asam Lehem Machut Sarfas Pleita V'Sheiris. So after all the pogroms, there is still a remnant of the Jewish people left in France. He references Rabbeinu Yosef, Rabbeinu Matisya, and Rabbeinu Yosef. Rabbeinu Matisya disseminated Torah in France. He created yeshivas. He was Marbis Torah Barabim. And he created Morei Torah. Everybody listened to what he had to say. And then this Rebbe Matisyo passed away. And his son was appointed instead, this Rabbeinu Yochanan. Yan Ra'uhu Mimali Makam Avosa Batar Biras Chait. His father gave him smicha, yara yara yadin yadin. Benasal rishus lipos yeshiva gave him rishus to open the yeshiva. Benasal nifrad meyaviv v'yelach alira cheres. But he went to another city. The kavasham yeshiva kamashan v'chayaviv. He started his own yeshiva. But me'ez neder ben amatzia. When his father passed away, he had ata shem kachameshanim halachim yachem bedarchi aviv. He followed his father's footsteps. Yoshib Yeshiva Maharav, Danasadim, Chol Malchus. So he was a Maharav in that whole area. Mitama Melech, Lakila Shikablu Aleim. And no one is Ma'ar, Marbis Torah, many Tamidim, Mari Hara. And he gave Smicha, Kaminak Sarfas Vashkanas, Sharabadim Songchan, Tamidayim, for Abadim Kishara, and Behem Shigila Ra. So they gave the colloquial Smicha to people that were Roy. And he gave Rishus to create their own yeshivas, Ladin Ulaharas. And what happened? The Ata Allah Arye Misavacho Arye Debeiloi Arye Shebachabura Meishav Chamter B'Torah Sir Rabbeinu Yeshaya Ubesibas Machlokes Chaya Beina Ben Rabbi Yochanan Nasami Mekamo Leyelchel Ashkenaz El Nesher Agadol Kedafayim Malo Torah the Maram Alevi. So he, there's a dispute. So he went to this other Rav, went to the Maram Folda in Germany. The Yafa Charon Meito, the Xeras Nidu Shetem Shalto, Akom Machet Sarfas, the Shomrav, Asher Yakub, the Post Yeshiva Sarfas, Lee Rishus, Rabbi Yeshaya, you call a Gitim of Chalitzos, Shias Lefanam Sulam. So this Maram Fulda issued a Cherim that no one else was authorized to be Masmich Rabbanim in France other than this Rabbi Yeshaya. That was a question that the Rivash was asked. Was he authorized to do that? Did he have bailus to be gozer that no one else in France can be masmich and musmachim? So the lengthy Shuvah HaRivash discusses what's the nature of the smicha and what's the territorial claim. But what you see from here, the Nogelin and Enu, is that there was this institution and seems that the institution may have been relatively recent at that time of having a more centralized and formal smicha process and authorizing Rabbanim who are Morei Hara, and at least the way the historians frame it, and you see a little bit of the historical context here in the Shuvah HaRivash, that was an outgrowth of the decimation of many kehilos in the aftermath of the bubonic plague. But these are just a few examples that come to mind of things that changed because of a Melchama, because of a Magefa that stayed even long after the Melchama and the Magefa were over. And Yeratzan, that we should be rid of this Magefa finally and just be left with thinking of what happened over the last year and what, if anything, will remain with us of that.
Thank you.
Rabbi Zilberman, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
By the Gittin, I could see it very dangerous to go back to the original Minhag because it would be Motzi Laz and all those Gittin, no?
All right, that's what we say. It shouldn't be Motzi Laz, I'll get the Rishon. Now, if in 1651, the Taz would have said, okay, the 2 years of war are over, let's go back to writing on Klaf, then there wouldn't have been a Hosos Laz because it's clear that that was a Shas HaTaz situation. Centuries later, to go back and change something would be Motzi Laz, I'll get the Rishon. But the point was that the Taz, once they started writing on paper, realized that it's not so bad, maybe even it's better. And within, it looks like decades, that became the norm across the Jewish world.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone.